Well, I'm thankful to have the opportunity to be here tonight and to present a portion of the lesson. I know Dan, when he was in high school, I don't know if they had persuasive speaking or not, but I can assure you he would have been state champion because I know yesterday I was out in the hayfield, and it was about 5 o'clock, and the baler had jumped out of timing, and the hands were an hour late getting there, and so I was working frantically to get the baler going and get the boys moving hay, and the phone rang, and it was Dan. And he wouldn't take no for an answer. I was like, Dan, I'm in the middle of 1,000 bales of hay, you know. And he says, it's okay, you can do it. Just be there. You'll be done by tomorrow evening, you know. And my wife's over there going, you've already got to talk in the morning, and this is going to be too much. And I said, well, we're going to do it, you know. Dan said do it, so we're going to do it. And so here I am. And we got the hay in the barn. For all you country folks, the hay's in the barn. Tonight we'll be presenting a 3-part lesson on the goals for personal spiritual growth. And just as that hay baler got out of time yesterday, sometimes in our life we get out of sync, you know. And if you've ever dealt with a hay baler when the timing's off, it's not a good situation because nothing seems to work. All the parts are just working against each other, and it's very difficult. And sometimes in life it feels that way. It feels like something's out of sync, and it's like the harder we try, the worse it gets. You know, we're just shearing pins, and we're just, you know, we're not making any progress. And I think when that happens in our life, when our life gets out of sync, we have to go back to the Word of God. The Word of God puts us back in alignment. It puts us in sync. It sets our timing. It makes all the parts come together and work. And I know that so many times in the chaos that we call life, we tend to forget the power of the Word of God. And I know that as we go through our life, and I know as I've aged, I've learned to get back to the Word a little quicker, you know, before you get so far off the path, and it tends to bring you back to where you need to be. Again, it's a 3-part lesson tonight, and there's 3 bedrock goals for personal growth that we're going to be talking about: being balanced, being busy, and being blessed. And the first portion of the lesson, I'll be talking about being balanced. And that's something that I know many times in my life I've had to deal with the fact that I'd get out of balance. You know, I'd get so carried away with something that I'd lose focus. And when that happens, you tend to veer off the path. And as I've grown older, I began to realize that, you know, God can let you know pretty quick when we're off that path, because the road starts getting real bumpy out there, you know, and He's putting you back in alignment. He's getting you back on the path again. And you've just got to learn to feel that, to recognize where we're going wrong. One of the big things that's important to us as we try to lead a balanced life is that we need to avoid extremes. So many times in the society that we live in today, people are pushing the edges. They're on the cutting edge. They're looking for the extreme. And what we have to understand is that we really need to avoid the extremes. I know liberalism is a real issue now in the world that we live in, and there's a lot of liberalism within our nation at this point. And we're suffering some of the consequences there. You know, legalism is sometimes an issue as well. And sometimes these two factors actually come together and join hands. And it can make for a very difficult situation. We need to be cautious during the peaks and valleys of our life. And I know a lot of times, you know, people are looking for the extremes, but as a Christian, we need to be avoiding the extremes. Be cautious during the peaks and valleys of life. Turn to the Word of God for strength and for balance. We should adhere to conservatism. As a Christian, we should certainly look at life in a more conservative manner. And I know sometimes that's not considered by many people to be exciting. But I think that it's very exciting to know that someday you'll be in heaven. And I know a lot of people don't look past this life. And I think as a Christian, it's important that we do that, that we look at the big picture. In Deuteronomy 5:32 states, "Therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left." We must be balanced in three areas: in teaching, in worship, and in life. In teaching, 1 Peter 4:11, "If any man speak, let him speak as oracles of God." In teaching, we need to make sure that we're teaching the truth. The worst thing that we can do as a Christian is to go about teaching false information. And the way you avoid that is you simply follow the Word of God. The Word of God is the truth. It's simple. It is the truth. And if we follow the Word of God, then we will be teaching in a manner that will certainly please God. In worship, we should always follow God's pattern for worship. Five specific acts are mentioned in the Scripture: singing, prayer, the Lord's Supper, preaching, and giving. It's very simple. It's there before us. It sets the pattern. It keeps our services in sync. In life, if you look at Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Well, how do we renew our mind? Through the study of the Word. We study the Word. It puts us back in focus. It synchronizes our life. We must apply truth to others and to ourselves. You know, too many times it's real easy to judge someone else. I mean, that's just human nature, isn't it? To look at someone else and maybe compare your life to theirs. Oh, my life's not as bad as theirs. Look at what they're doing. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, we don't see that log that's in our eye. You know, we're nitpicking at someone else. And we need to understand that we will all be judged. If you would, keep in mind that not everyone that saith unto me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. So many times I think that people go through life and they think as they go through life that they're doing the will of God. But I think that what we're saying is that a lot of the people in this world are doing their will. They're not following the will of God. They're changing their thoughts and their ideas. In regard to the worship services, we see a lot of transition in our society so far as worship services. And we understand that a lot of times what we have there are people that are simply making an adjustment in the will of God. And that's certainly not what we're supposed to be doing. We want to make sure that we do live a balanced life. We want to make sure that we avoid the extremes. We want to make sure that we adhere to conservatism and that we're balanced in teaching, in worship, and in life. At this time, Ben will come forward to present part two of our lesson tonight.
Good evening. Like Kyle, Dan did me the same way yesterday evening. I was at the funeral home, pretty tied up with things, and he wouldn't take no for an answer, so this is what you get. It's kind of funny, though, when he was telling me, I said, you know, Dan, I'm real busy, and I'm going to call this weekend. I don't know if I'm going to have time to do it. Well, so happens I'm going to be talking about being busy tonight. So, but after looking at this as being busy in another way, in our lives, we tend to be busy all the time doing something, which is good, you know. Even if you do nothing all day, you're busy doing nothing, according to some people. But we'll talk a little bit before about being busy in the physical body. We work hard on our jobs and our careers. We work hard on making money. We work hard being family men, being family-oriented. We work real hard, and we're real busy a lot of times at doing that. We also have to be busy in our spiritual life, which sometimes our busy life physically gets in the way of doing that. When an athlete or one of us wants to shed off a few pounds or get in shape, we have to physically get our body in shape. We got to physically be busy doing something, whether it be walking in the mornings or evenings or joining the gym, lifting weights or whatever it may be. We have to be busy physically to do that. And that's the same way with our spiritual life. In order for us to grow stronger in the faith, we have to also work on doing that, whether it be studying, praying, or coming to church, or whatever it may be. We have to be busy doing that as well. Tonight I'll be talking about three things: saving souls, strengthening the church, and sharing with the needy. When we need to be busy saving souls, just as Jesus came into the world to do. Jesus wants us to seek and save the lost, as he did in Luke 19:10. Jesus was always busy. If we look at his life throughout the Bible, he was constantly preaching the good news to people around him. He would be in one town and then go to the next town, and even along the road he would stop to either preach the good news to somebody or to help someone in need. He was a busy man, and as Christians and as disciples of Christ, we too should be busy just like Christ did. We need to open our Bibles. For us to grow spiritually, we must gain the knowledge and wisdom which is in our Bibles. You know, a lot of people have these at home. I know pretty much all of us probably do, and there's probably some that don't even go to church or not a Christian. They have them at home, but they don't hardly ever open them up. And we need to open this up more often for our own good and for our own benefit. This is lots of good, healthy stuff in it for us to learn. It's like a bodybuilder. If he wants to pack on lots of muscle, not only he has to work out, but he has to eat healthy things. He's got to eat healthy foods. He's got to stay away from the junk food that we all like, hamburgers and French fries, ice cream and all that. He's got to stay on a good diet, good, healthy plan. And it's the same way with the Christian. You know, we sit at home, watch junk on TV. We listen to junk on the radio. We have to turn all that off and get in this Bible, where it's healthy, which is good. It's going to help us to grow spiritually. Another one of our fears we open the Bibles in front of people is we think that we may not know enough of God's Word to do that. And to be honest with you, we all know more than what we think we do. It's just a fear of the devil that makes us think we don't know. But the more that we do study, the more confident we'll get and the better that we'll be at it, and we wouldn't mind sharing our Bibles with others, being busy and doing that. Secondly, we must open our doors. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus wants us to come to him. He has open door policy. We can come to Jesus any moment in our life, and he's there for us. We, as people, as Christians, as disciples, need to open our doors up to others. We never know when there's someone outside that door that needs us. And we live in a society and a world today where we like to live behind closed doors. We don't want to open our doors up. We don't want to get in other people's problems, or we don't want to help people. We're too busy. We're doing other things. We need to look at our lives and open our doors up to people and to let them into our lives and to help them and spread the word of Jesus to them. Thirdly, we also need to open our homes. And I'm not just talking about our house that we live in, but our home. If y'all ever been into, somebody's home or something, and you'll see a sign that says, home is where your heart is. Well, that's true. You turn a house into a home with love and with your heart. And we also, with our loving heart, we make Jesus a home. And by opening up our home, opening up our heart to Jesus, other people will see home, will find home after this life and in this life. We need to open our doors to others. Fourthly, we need to open our hearts. It goes along with homes. John 3:16 comes to mind. God gave his only son up for us to die so that we could live eternity. God gave us his heart. He gave us love. And that's what we need to do with other people that are around us. Quit being so busy about what we love and what we want to accomplish and start loving those out there that are lost. Secondly, we need to be busy and strengthen our church. A body needs nourishment. We as a church body need to lift one another up. Wednesday night when Paul Heer was here, he was speaking about edification and lifting one another up and strengthening the church. You know, the more people that we have come to church, the more bodies that we have here will strengthen this church. Just as a newborn baby needs milk and nourishment to grow, we have to feed them milk and things to get up their bones to develop and get them strong to become good, healthy teenagers and adults. We also need the spiritual milk that was talked in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. A bride needs to love her husband just as the church loves her Lord. Ephesians 5, verse 21 and following says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. We as a body should be busy submitting to the Lord. You know, a lot of churches are about numbers. If you had a church on this side of town that had 500 members, and you had a church on this side of town that had 12 members, but only 100 of these members of this church were faithful members that actually came and helped in the church and lifted people up, that church is weak. But at this church over here that had 12 members, were faithful members that came every Sunday, every Wednesday, that's a strong church. They only have 12 people. These may have 500, but only 100 of them are faithful. It's like that wall that Paul talked about Wednesday night. The strong wall and the wall that has some missing bricks in it, that one's going to be a weaker wall than the wall that has all the bricks in it. As a church, the more that we come, the more that we worship together, we strengthen the body of Christ. We need to submit ourselves. It's just like in a marriage, if a man and woman get married and the woman and the man doesn't love each other and they're constantly fighting, the relationship is weak. And it's the same with the Lord's church. If you just show up to take up a spot on a pew on Sunday mornings and that's all you do, you're weakening the church. We need to be busy into going out and to helping in the church and to reaching others that are lost. We, as we're talking about togetherness, a family needs togetherness. We like it in our own family, our own blood family. When our families get together, whether it be for a family reunion or a holiday or a birthday or whatever, when we're all together, the family is strengthened about it. But there's times where family members can't make it. They may have to work that day, or they're out on another thing, and you feel that void in your family. You're missing that someone. But when everybody's together, we're strengthened. That's the way it is at church. Once everybody's here, the church is doing better. But if you're missing a few, you feel that void and it's a little weak. I know working at the funeral home, when someone loses a loved one, if they're ever a big family, and I've really had this happen, have 20 people come into my office to make arrangements. And with all this family here, it strengthens the widow or widower, just having the family around them, versus the families that I've waited on that maybe they've already passed on or they're not getting along, and the widow or widower comes, and maybe somebody else with the family comes. They're real weak. They're not strong. They're not as strong as that other family is that are with them, giving them strength. So togetherness will strengthen us. Lastly, we need to be busy at sharing with the needy. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says, "As we therefore have the opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those who are in the household of the faith." Talking about the church. Now, this church does a great job with helping with the needy. I've been here for quite a few number of years now, and this church has been good to give to needy, to help those that are sick, help out in the community. We have people here that helping to stock pot and give donations. We help out with the military. We do a real good job as a church body at giving to the needy. But we need to look as individuals in our life, because all of us know someone that's in need. And a lot of times in our busy life, we tend to overlook it. We don't have time for that person. We need to set aside the busy life that we think that's important to us, that's only temporary, and to be more busy in our spiritual life as watch see how it grows. Now, Mr. Duzan's going to come talk to us about being blessed. Thank you.
I see a definite pattern developing here. Let's see, yours was 5:30, and yours was when?
About 2.
Mine wasn't until about 7:30 last night. And Dan was trying to give me the outline over the phone, and I've got 3 grandkids visiting me. And that seemed like it would have been a real good excuse to say, let somebody else do it. But we didn't. I don't know if Dan forgot. And I mean, he told me there are a couple of deacons that couldn't be here. And I know a couple of cases that is true. Sam's mother died. And Adam was not able to be here tonight. But you just have to do what you have to do sometimes. Goals for personal spiritual growth, 3 bedrock goals for growth. These 3 are: be balanced, be busy, and be blessed. Well, I have the 3rd one, the be blessed. Our Kyle has spoken about our goal to be balanced, to avoid extremes and not to deviate from God's plan as given in the Bible. Of course, that's very important. And then Ben spoke on being busy in the Lord's work. And of course, we stress here we need to be busy in doing the right things. I mean, we can be busy doing a lot of things, but they're not necessarily God's work. So we need to do that. So we need to do things in God's way. And if we do things in God's way and we're busy in the work of the Lord, we will be blessed both now and later in heaven. But you'll notice that the first 2 points of this lesson are things that we do as individuals. All right, when we're going to be balanced, it's something we have to do. It's something that we do. And when we are to be busy, that's something that we are doing. But this one, the 3rd point, is something that happens to us when we do the first 2. It happens to us. But when we are balanced and we are busy, we will be blessed. Who's the one doing the blessing? God. God is the one who is sending the blessing. Now, he may give it to us directly from himself, or he may use someone else to deliver it to us. Or when you sit down with your Bible and read and meditate on it, doesn't it make you feel good after you've done it? I mean, if you really sit down and read it, meditate on it, do you ever say, after you've studied the Bible for an hour or so, oh, what a waste of time. I wish I hadn't been doing it. I wish I hadn't done that. No, you feel good because you have done God's will. And that good feeling that you have is a blessing from God. So when you study with someone else and he or she obeys the gospel, God blesses you as well as the person that you have converted. We know that all blessings come from God. In James 1, verse 17, it says, all blessings come from God in whom there are no variances, and he gives to all men and chideth not. I think one of the versions says, upbraideth not. All that simply means is God is willing to forgive. He's willing to give you things. I mean, how many times have we had children that have lost one of their gloves 14 times? What do we do? Well, you've lost them 14 times, but I'm going to get you another pair. But we rake them over the coals for what they've done, but we're still going to give them what they asked for. And this is saying, God doesn't do that. God doesn't say, well, you have committed this sin 14 times, and I don't want you doing it again. No. He says, if you come to me and ask for forgiveness, I will give it without chiding or without upbraiding. All right, we know that when we teach, that God is the one who gives the increase. We know this from 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, when it says, and of course Paul was the one writing that, says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God has given the growth or the increase. But you know, God can use us to deliver his blessings. If a widow lady needs her lawn mowed, could God send a blessing to her through us if we mowed it for her? Would God bless us for doing it? I think we know that he would. If you were to come up here when we have Monday night for the master and perform an hour's worth of work blessing others, do you think God will bless you for it? Well, we know that he will. We need more people giving and receiving blessings when we have Monday night for the master, as well as any other service projects that we might have going on. And you know, we may never get a thank you or an attaboy, or a pat on the back from others. But more importantly, God gives the ultimate blessing. Jesus said in Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. All right, the blessing, the ultimate blessing, comes from God. When we perform the things for others here on the earth, then God is going to bless us ultimately with a home in heaven with him. I want to issue a challenge tonight. I've already talked about this a little bit, but I did this several years ago and still do it on a regular basis. And that's at least partly the reason I'm standing before you tonight presenting this lesson. Here's the challenge. I challenge you to pray a prayer similar to this one and mean it. Now, if you don't mean it, you might as well not pray it because it's not going to get past the roof. But I challenge you to pray a prayer similar to this one. Put it in your own words, however you want to do it. But it goes something like this. Dear God, use me in your service. Lord, send me opportunities to serve you and help me recognize those opportunities and do them as best I can. In other words, God, I want you to use me, show me how, and help me to recognize it, and then not turn my back on it and turn it down. All right, then if you do that and truly mean it, be ready to hear the call, because God's going to send it. It may be someone needing a ride to a doctor's appointment. I mean, it may be where you're listening to a conversation and somebody says, I don't have a way to get to the doctor tomorrow. That may be your opportunity to be of service. This is where you recognize what God wants you to do, something that you're capable of doing. So it might be just someone needing a ride to a doctor's appointment, something that you can do for them. Or it may be someone needing food prepared, as in the case with Gail Hamilton at this time. I mean, the announcement's been made about it. Or it could be your preacher calling you at 7:30 on Saturday night to do a lesson because two of the deacons couldn't be here. And maybe you'd rather be home playing with your grandkids or doing something else or baling hay, whatever it might be. But you will be blessed both here and in heaven if you are faithful in serving God and your fellow man. So I challenge you to pray to God, to ask him to show you ways that you can be of service, and then be looking for those and then making up your mind that you will do those. So we need to be balanced. We need to be busy. And when we are that, we will be blessed. All right, if we can assist you in becoming a Christian by being baptized tonight, or if you need the prayers of the church, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.